And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Friday, November 17th, 2017. Welcome to this edition. Welcome to our radio show tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. I feel inundated. How many people feel inundated with the news? I just feel totally awash amid the headlines and everything else that's going on. But we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. First half hour, we're going to be talking about current issues, of course, as well as the second half hour as we bring Alicia Powell in, WorldNet Daily writer, journalist extraordinaire. And then the second hour, it's going to be just a fantastic second hour with Doug Papa. This gentleman is, well, I'll tell you what. He actually, Sylvester Stallone, that whole story, he's the one that broke it. He's the one that actually broke the story on Stallone. Among other things, he's a U.S. military, a former U.S. Military police veteran and a former law enforcement officer, a detective of the year, as a matter of fact. He's got law enforcement credentials. But the headlines, Uranium One, email Clinton scandal, all of the corruption. What bothers me the most, Joe, is the fact that the Sessions Department of Justice has put the kibosh on the release of information about this, and they've actually obstructed justice, in my view. The Sessions Department of Justice under Trump. It's amazing. And we've heard this over and over and over again. And Robert Mueller, I said my morning show. And by the way, you can tune into Doug Hagmann Radio Show from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Global Star and also on Blog Talk. And not on YouTube, just on those two venues. And please, and also Joe and John from 2 to 3 on Global Star and Blog Talk. What we would ask you to do, if you listen to either one of the shows, is please click on the follow button on BTR. Regardless of where you listen to it, if you listen to it via Global Star, just click the follow button on BTR. It raises our visibility. But, Joe, what do you make of this? The
Uranium One?
Well, yes. And of course, William Campbell has been identified by Reuters yesterday. He's been essentially outed. Now, the story that I got yesterday was that he went public as well, but the timeline was cloudy, and I got this verified that Reuters outed him. The Justice Department actually outed him first, and then he went public. So it was our own Department of Justice that initially identified him, followed by Reuters, or gave it to Reuters. And when I say the Department of Justice, I'm also including the FBI, current FBI in that, but specifically the DOJ. And Sessions has really done nothing to follow this up. As a matter of fact, Sessions has downplayed the role of this FBI informant who bore witness to millions of dollars
in briefcases. Changing hands.
That's kind of what we do here. That's a payday, right?
Yeah, I wish. Geez, that would be nice.
Can you
we watched the one lobbyist who was getting paid $50,000 a month.
That's William Campbell. That's
and
yes.
We watched the Sean Hannity piece with John Solomon and Sarah Carter.
Yep.
And this was about an article on The Hill showing that the FBI informant Campbell, he's got a few things going on. He is apparently has cancer, which I didn't know that.
Right.
But
right.
He has videotapes of the Russians opening briefcases full of cash, using it to blackmail and grease the skids in the Uranium One deal. And we also learned in that interview that the FBI, McCabe in the FBI, listed the Hillary Clinton email investigation under a special designation,
right.
which gave it special priorities and attention.
Meaning to keep it out of the routine type of investigation, which angered the rank and file members of the FBI.
Oh yeah, and it should. Yeah. And what you said about Jeff Sessions, when we saw him testify earlier this week, that there wasn't, what did he say? I don't remember exactly what he said, but there's not enough evidence to
for a special prosecutor.
Yeah, to open the special prosecutor investigation, which is completely false. Well, if he knew about this FBI informant, if he knows what the contents of the videos that he has.
But I would agree with him though, Joe. Only to if the Department of Justice did their job, I would say, okay, you really don't need a special counsel. If the DOJ was doing their job, however, we know that the Department of Justice is, even under Sessions, is not doing their job. So I guess, yeah, I guess to that extent, we would request a special counsel in this case, right? I mean,
yeah.
So
right. For me, the evidence, and for most people out there, it should be. I mean, we've seen plenty of evidence. Just the fact that, she signed off on this Uranium One deal. She received the bulk of the money into the Clinton Foundation. And then all the details that you detail on the morning show, and then what we get into here that we've gone over for the last weeks and months, there is so much evidence out there. And again, Hillary Clinton responded this week saying it would be an abuse of power to unfairly target her, as she would, it would be like an authoritarian regime targeting a political enemy. Like they're just going after her because she is a political enemy or opponent. And that's absolutely false. There are several scandals that we know that she was involved in that are provable to the point that charges should be brought. But even with this new information, even with this new FBI informant and the videotape information he has, will we see any renewed calls for a special counsel? Possibly out of members of Congress, possibly by members of the DOJ. I doubt you'll see anything from the FBI. I doubt you'll see Jeff Sessions reconsider or get in front of the TV and say, in light of these new facts, we're going to have to open an investigation. I don't see that happening. I don't see any accountability from the Hillary Clinton side that they're ever going to see. At best case scenario, I see her throwing somebody else under the bus to take the rap for it if it ever came down to that.
Well, I tend to agree, although I think because Hillary and Bill Clinton have lost their political clout, mm-hmm. because they don't hold office anywhere, I think that now they're expendable by the shadow government, the permanent state, the deep state. I think they're expendable now. However, I think that you will see the first. I think you're going to see the low hanging fruit in this case be hit first. But this FBI informant, they've got video. Now think about that. They've got video. This FBI informant has video, has audio, and has actual documentation that directly implicates the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and others. And also consider this. This is something that, this is a transaction or a series of transactions that actually began in September of 2005. Who was FBI director then? It was Robert Mueller. Who was the Department of Justice, head of the Department of Justice? It was Eric Holder. And by the way, who was the president? I'm sorry, in 2005, it was not, let me back up, it was not Holder as Department of Justice. But this goes back to 2005. This
who
goes
was
back
the
to
Department
Bush.
Of Justice and, it wasn't, Condoleezza Rice, she was the Secretary of State.
I'll have to go back and look at my notes. But this began in September of 2005 when Bill Clinton found himself in Kazakhstan. And Kazakhstan has $5 trillion worth of natural resources. That's where the story begins. And the story ends now, or hasn't really, it's not ending, but the story goes right now to this FBI informant who was a consultant, it was a lobbyist for a period of time, and then a consultant, and went to the Department of Justice and said, look, I see bribery, I see wrongdoing, I see the selling out of our national security.
Alberto Gonzalez in 2005 was the Attorney General.
Okay, that's right, Gonzalez. So, you've got two administrations, or one administration, one regime, or actually two regimes, I don't know, presidential regime. You've got multiple Department of Justice people, but the real act occurred in subsequent to 2010, well, around 2010, under Obama, when the Russian government publicly announced the acquisition of Uranium One, and the purchase of Uranium One, and Vladimir Putin actually personally released the funds for the purchase. This is a huge deal, and if you go back into the Venona cables and the deciphering of the Venona cables, this is not the first time that our atomic secrets and our atomic material has been transferred to Russia through this kind of subterfuge and mishandling and misappropriation. But no one wanted to hear it then, and apparently no one wants to hear it now. Now, I've got a question, and you can answer this in chat. I know John is on chat. And I'm going to toss this question out because I don't know. If you're like Joe and I, we get so deep into the research, we don't know how many people really have researched like Uranium One. My question is, would a special show, whether it's me, whether it's Joe, or whether it's the flagship show, with a special show on Uranium One, on breaking down the details, would anyone like that? So if you would, and John can certainly just let me know of the results, just put in, I don't know, what do you guys usually do, like a one or something, right? So, and we'll tally it up, because this is complex, but it's also pretty simple. And it's just a case of bribery and espionage by the highest, by the peoples in the highest level of government. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is actually fact. Now, Joe, a lot of other news as well. The meeting of the Democratic Alliance, Democracy Alliance in Carlsbad, California, I spoke about today. Their agenda, their itinerary has been published.
Reclaiming our progressive future.
Yep.
and this is part of the packet that the folks who are attending the conference gets. The Democracy Alliance strives to create a safe space for progressive funders and movement leaders to meet and discuss issues of common interest, develop relationships through dialogue and networking, and engage in conversations about progressive ideas and strategy. Some of the things that they are going to cover throughout this this whole conference here, and it's very interesting. You can find the itinerary and agenda on the net. They say, this is just a short synopsis of their key challenges. Turning resistance energy into electoral action. Mobilizing low-priority voters in the progressive base and reaching out beyond it. Fighting to take back the states. Learning from the healthcare fight and suiting up for the next big legislative battles, tax reform, jobs, and infrastructure. Understanding how this year's extreme weather disasters are making climate change even more of a political issue. And they, if you go through the actual schedule, they when you go to a conference, you get the itinerary from, you know, 3 to 4 is going to be Paul McGuire, and from 6 to 7 or 6 to 8 it'll be Rust Izdar. Well, that's the same thing here. And some of the objectives here that they point out here, here's one: California Dreaming? California Leading, a new way forward. So I take that as they're promoting the progressive agenda and how radical it has been in California as going all across the nation. They talk about new fights in the resistance, 2018 midterm elections, tax reform. They want to, they're going to hear from George Soros. I found that was an interesting one. A talk with George Soros. That happened today. And they go on to talk a lot about winning, how they're going to win the midterm elections in 2018. How to get the progressive agenda to new minds out there. They also talk about religious exemptions, take aim at civil rights. And this is a what's what of liberal progressive ideas and political aspirations on how they want to transform the country into their socialist slash communist utopia. That's all this is.
Wow.
And it would be interesting to see. There's some notes on this for the attendees not to leave any of the sensitive information laying around, especially when media or bloggers are involved. So they're telling them to hide their
How'd that work out for them? Whoops, somebody left that packet somewhere where they got it.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if people post some of the paperwork from the individual sessions. As I said, I didn't read all of them, but there are a lot of interesting little...
And some of the sessions are by invitation only, so you've got to be a certain level partner, kind of like a Patreon. But see, the hashtag, and I think this is what a lot of people are missing.
Okay. Building a progressive narrative in a Trump bubble. Yes, we can do it.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Okay. Well, but I think they're operating under hashtag resistance. They're promoting that, and of course they're operating as the resistance. And I think a lot of people don't really realize that they're empowering the street resistance that we're seeing. And
but what are they resisting?
Well, they're resisting the change from the
swamp deep state, progressive new world order that they're trying to create.
Right.
They're resisting. They're resisting nationalism, patriotism, love of your country.
Yes.
Freedom, capitalism, everything that this country was built on.
They're communists.
They are communists.
The communist ideology is driving that agenda.
At least communists were honest about what they wanted to implement communism to. Here, you don't have that. You have, them trying to push this socialist communist agenda under a banner of doing it for the betterment of the American people.
Well, in the post-World War II era, that was the sort of the same model where they were there was the covert CP Communist Party infiltration, and then there was the overt side of it, and I think that was their model back in the post World War II from 1934 onward, but really took hold after World War II. And Diana West talks about this and writes about this in her book Betrayal, just an incredible book. But that's their agenda. I want to just say this, because somebody had on Twitter had on my personal Twitter account, when I sent out Peter Chowka's article about Sean Hannity, I got a note from a conservative. And it surprised me. It really surprised me, saying you should back off of supporting Sean Hannity. Okay, and I thought to myself, wait a second, who else in the media landscape, in the corporate media, in the mainstream media, who is reporting on Uranium One? Who is talking about the email scandals or the crimes? Who is talking about the Clinton Foundation crimes? It's only one person, really, and that's with any regularity, and that's Sean Hannity. That's why we're backing him. What would happen if he was gone? And no one, and no one in the corporate media was talking about it. At least we got a fighting chance in that venue. I'm not saying we surrender to that venue. I'm saying it's just, that's, keep going, But anyway, So anyway, there's a lot of things going on. We've got, but I do think, I really believe, and I'm going to say this and toss this over to you, but the people who believe that Robert Mueller, pick your pronunciation, the people who really believe in their minds intellectually that Robert Mueller is acting somehow on behalf of Donald Trump, I want to know what your thought process is on that. I really do. I've gotten emails saying, oh, just wait, you're going to see the takedown of the Clintons via Robert Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not.
Mm-mm.
And this is not 3D chess. It's not that hard. These are mafia tactics. That's just, do you agree?
Oh, absolutely, I agree. And it is, people throwing different theories out there about, these sealed indictments and Robert Mueller being on the side of Trump and working with Trump to drain the swamp, as people put it. It's just wishful thinking. It really was. And we said this, you know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, to those people who were, you know, promoting this idea that Mueller was going to somehow indict the Podestas and, you know, have some investigation into Uranium One. That is never going to happen.
You know, I'll say this, though. If a Podesta was indicted, I do believe that that would serve only one purpose, and that purpose would be to use that, use the, maybe leverage, but mm-hmm. make it appear that, that the entire process was,
unbiased.
Apolitical, yeah. Right, unbiased. But, and,
but see, see, I don't think that's gonna happen with Podestas, because what they did was, the same thing that Manafort is charged with, the Podesta lobbying group was guilty of. But they were told, given a heads up, to go back and fix their paperwork in August,
right.
before the indictments
right.
on Manafort came. And then you had Tony Podesta step down, probably as a way to kind of get out of the spotlight. And since then, the Podesta firm has been dissolved and a new one's being opened and under another name. But I think all that was done for the purposes of not having to bring charges against them.
Hmm.
But, you know, many people out there are still talking about the possibility that these sealed indictments and there are things going on behind the scenes, like you said, like the 5D chess. We want to believe it, but
no,
there's nothing to substantiate it. There's not even indications that this is ongoing. Jeff Sessions is very disappointing, in my opinion.
I agree.
And it seems weak. He's always on the defensive. He's never... A listener who I talked to earlier this week believed that the Clinton or somebody on the left had something over Jeff Sessions. And I would agree with that. Or he just doesn't have the stones to be the Attorney General.
I agree with you on that. And I was willing to give Jeff Sessions the benefit of the doubt. And I probably had said this. Give him a chance. Let him do the job. Let him depoliticize the agency. But now, given everything that we've seen, and now that the one issue, considering that the Department of Justice leaked or otherwise facilitated or permitted the leaking to Reuters of the FBI informant's name, that to me, that's okay. Now that's the deal breaker, and Sessions' testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee this week, saying that, well, the weight of evidence by this FBI informant would not warrant the special counsel. Now I could see that again, given if the Department of Justice was working the way it should. So now I'm saying, okay, it's a new game, as far as I'm concerned. Sessions has gone well beyond the doubt. I believe that Sessions is either compromised, as you say, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
or just simply working on behalf of the deep state. I'm sorry, I'd like to believe otherwise, but I can't. There's no evidence to support the fact that he's actually wearing a white hat.
And if we're wrong, we'll be the first ones to come out and apologize.
Absolutely.
And say we were wrong, but
yeah.
It just doesn't... It just, the indications aren't that this is somehow going to turn around and bring charges and investigations to the DNC, to Hillary Clinton, to Mueller, to Uranium One. It's just not there. Hopefully, the new information about the FBI undercover informant and his videotapes will lead to a further of investigations on the Uranium One deal, but still, even then, I don't see it. We have this whole, media, politics, people in the tops of business, and all this big cabal of people who control just about everything that we see on our TV, here on the radio, and these people they have this anti-Trump, anti-American, liberal mindset, and they're going to protect their own. We detailed stories yesterday on The Daily Show about the media bragging about not covering Uranium One and covering it up during the election cycle last year. They said, Katie Turr was one of those. She said, we purposely didn't cover it to
right.
keep it out of the headlines. And, you know, you see these just constantly. This is what is, the media is so controlled. This is why it's so important that people like Sean Hannity, who are in the mainstream media, continue to tell the truth about these scandals and tell the truth about what is going on inside of Washington and inside of the mainstream media. And it's so frustrating when we see, you know, he's really the only voice. You have Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson, who've been doing a good job. And I was saying this off air, I watched an episode of Laura Ingraham this week, and I thought it was a really good show. I'm probably going to start recording.
I'll record
some pieces of it. I like listening to her on the radio.
Actually, our DVR is filled with everybody from Hannity to Ingraham to Tucker Carlson to Rachel Maddow. Yeah, I know. It's tough, but someone's got to do it. And Brian Williams on. So it's you know, on both sides of the political spectrum. You were mentioning something about Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it on grumbling. Air.
I was in my office. I hear.
I'll tell you off air what I said.
Well, I heard what you said, but what was the catalyst for your comments?
Oh, she's in the news again about her replacement at CNN on the New Year's Eve segment.
His name is
Andy Cohen, and she created a storm on social media trying to spread some story about him that kind of backfired on her. But she looks so unhinged, and something's wrong with her. She looks sick. She doesn't look healthy. And with that haircut, we were talking about...
that's a haircut, didn't she?
Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings?
The backstory. Somebody said that she cut her hair in support of a relative who had cancer.
Well, if that's the case, okay, I can appreciate that. But
yeah.
You know, wow. Well, coming back on the other side with Alicia Powell, WorldNet Daily author, journalist, extremely, extremely fascinating journalist. Coming right back. Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Report for this Friday edition. Actually, again, program just as it unfolds, we'll have just a tremendous amount. We're going to be covering a lot of topics, a lot of information. Hour two is going to join us. We're going to be talking about Las Vegas, among other things. That kind of has fallen off the radar. Alicia Powell is going to be joining us here momentarily. Of course, she's a WND staff writer based in Washington and has written some tremendous columns, investigative columns over the last couple of weeks, including Donna Brazile under oath on Seth Rich killing. I think that was the one that caught my attention the most. We're going to kind of quiz her on that and find out what she knows about that. And don't forget, we cannot forget, I don't believe, all of the, what I like to call hinge moments in history in recent times. All of these events from Las Vegas to the church shooting to what happened in Manhattan, to going back even to the election, to going back before the election, and all of these events, it seems like the headlines, what I was saying earlier is the headlines come so fast, it's easy to lose sight of what's going on. By the way, received a telephone message from Greg Jackson, the author, Greg Jackson, and he interviewed Judge Roy Moore back a number of years ago in his book, We Won't Be Fooled Again, and for a couple of hours, and I had to take the book off the bookshelf and read that interview. In fact, I think Greg Jackson had lunch with Judge Roy Moore, and his feelings on Judge Roy Moore are very strong. So that's hopefully we can get him in, and he can talk about that in a timely fashion. But having said all of that, one of the investigative journalists that I follow with regularity, and I have a lot of respect for and a lot of faith, a lot of trust in, is Alicia Powell. And she is a WorldNet WND staff writer based in Washington, D.C. She's joining us now. Alicia, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
Well, we so appreciate your time. You know, you've done some fantastic investigative pieces for WND of late. Can we start off in because we have limited time here, I'm going to give you the floor. I'd like to start off by asking you about the Seth Rich, Donna Brazile issue, the column you wrote. I believe that was back in, back last week, November 14th, or just a few days ago, actually. November 14th. Can we start there and then work wherever you want to go?
Well, I've been, investigating the Seth Rich case for many months, very diligently since May, and, for those of you who don't know who Seth Rich is, he worked in the voter analysis division of the Democratic National Committee, and he was killed on July 10th of 2016 at the height of the 2016 presidential election. And right after he was killed, WikiLeaks released the trove of emails from the DNC revealing that they were not only rigging the election against Bernie Sanders, but they were using racist slurs against constituents and engaging in occultist behavior, spirit cooking with a Satanist leader, Marina Abramović. So all of these incriminating emails were released just weeks after Seth Rich was killed, and he's believed to be the leaker of the emails. And Julian Assange himself has basically insinuated in an interview you can find online that Rich was the leaker. So a Republican lobbyist and an attorney named Jack Berkman, he has been trying to find out who killed Seth Rich. And lots of these corruption cases and these things that are being overlooked by lawmakers or law enforcement, it seems to be attorneys like Berkman or the folks at Judicial Watch who are really the only ones who are finding out what the information that the public is eager to know about. So he filed a lawsuit against the DNC for rigging the election, demanding the release of the DNC server, which contains all the emails. And we can find out through this lawsuit if Seth Rich was the leaker, if this actually sees a day in court and it doesn't get dismissed before the discovery phase of the lawsuit.
That'll be interesting. Okay.
It would be interesting.
Yeah. And of course, Alicia Powell has written about this on her column at WND. Just fascinating to see how you followed this from day one and reporting, keeping people informed on this. What are your thoughts? Do you think this will see the light of day? The lawsuit and the discovery, do you think it'll make it to that point?
Well, first I'll add that Berkman amended his lawsuit this Tuesday, which is the most recent article you can find on WND about Seth Rich, he amended his lawsuit to include Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile makes a ton of explosive accusations in her book about the DNC rigging the election, and she claims that she feared for her life in the days after Seth Rich was killed, and that she was looking through her blinds in fear of her life. So now she's included in the lawsuit that's aiming to prosecute her, Hillary Clinton, and the DNC. Will it see the light of day? Well, we keep thinking, oh, geez, the Seth Rich story is growing cold. Mm. No one's caring about it anymore. There's no more information to pull up front, to find out, to report on. I've gone to the neighborhood, spoken to the people in the community Seth Rich lived, and a lot of them are tight-lipped. A lot of them would tell me things that I couldn't report on that were suspicious. And what we know is that the FBI, Donna Brazile, basically insinuates in her book that the FBI ruled out that Russia was involved. Yet the FBI, when we ask them if they've been investigating Rich's case, they tell us that they refer us back to the MPD, the Metropolitan Police Department. So what is it? Is the FBI investigating, or is this in the is the MPD following up, or are they being warned by the Washington D.C. mayor to stand down? That's what the profiling project with attorney right. Jack Berkman runs. Will this see the light of day? I think the public demand to find out what happened to Seth Rich is so strong just as the public demand is strong to find out, to lock Hillary Clinton up and to hold Democrats accountable. Every story that I've written about Seth Rich in the past, I don't know, 6 months, is the highest ranking story at WND, because people want to find the truth out in this corruption scandal. And we wouldn't someone like Hillary Clinton offed him
revealing
that. Not only, now, I don't think that they care so much. The DNC said in a lawsuit, in a court hearing, since this is a second lawsuit filed against the DNC for rigging the election. So the DNC admitted in a court hearing in April with Elizabeth and Jared Beck that, so what if we pick our candidates? There's nothing in our DNC charter that prohibits us from picking our own candidates or rigging the election. The Democratic National Committee is not concerned, or Hillary Clinton's not concerned that everyone knows they rigged the election. So what? What are you going to do about it? Democrats are going to vote for Clinton anyway. And that's what Democrats would tell me during the race. Oh, we can't stand her, but we're going to hold our nose and we're going to vote for her. So what they do care about is stuff like Uranium One.
Right.
And they care about, okay, the big conspiracy of Pedogate that we're not allowed to talk about unless you want to be branded fake news. Yet, if you do spend some time and you look up what spirit cooking means, or what these FBI's alleged names for pizza and hot dogs means, where there's smoke, there's fire. It's not just random stuff in the emails that make, you know, these odd emails. So they care about covering all of their corruption scandals, and that corruption scandal is not rigging, just rigging the election. That's probably the least of what they care about, if they care at all. I mean, they blatantly had primaries where they had superdelegates determining that Clinton won the election. I mean, would win these primaries, or they'd have coin tosses determine that she'd won some of these primaries. So that's the least of what they're worried about.
Interesting. Okay.
And obviously, Clinton is obviously fearful that there will be a special counsel to investigate the Uranium One deal, because now she's coming out saying that the United States will be transformed into some sort of authoritarian government if they were to investigate Uranium One. I think she said that 2 days ago. She told a liberal left-leaning website, Mother Jones.
That's right.
And that's what the liberal talking points are now. That the United States is turning into Russia if we dare investigate Clinton's corruption.
It's amazing for me to watch this, and you've been on the front lines and the cutting edge of reporting from Pedogate, Pizzagate, And that's when I kind of, took note of your writing and your investigative research, all the way through Seth Rich and beyond, or maybe Seth Rich first and then Pizzagate and Pedogate and forward. So do you think Hillary Clinton, do you think that a day of reckoning may be coming for her, do you think? Or do you think that she's above that and no one is really going to care?
I think the main thing, well, first of all, I haven't reported much in Pedogate. That is a conspiracy theory as of now, that, like I said, where there's smoke, there's fire. But there were undoubtedly emails about spirit cooking. That much we know.
Right.
Will Clinton be held accountable? Well, the most infuriating thing about the Russia probe and Uranium One and all of it is that Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, has recused himself from all of these investigations, and we're beholden to Robert Mueller and McCabe, who are in bed with the Democrat Party, to bring accountability forth. We know we can't trust them. We know that they were the same people who were running the FBI when Uranium One dealings were ongoing, when Clinton was, they let Clinton get away with jeopardizing national security with her private email server. We're trusting them, and they're investigating President Trump for a year already for allegedly rigging the election. Us conservatives know it's complete BS, and it's ongoing, and Democrat holdovers are still in charge. They're in charge of the FBI. They are in charge. They're in all forms of, in all parts of our government. And why? We don't know. Is it President Trump's fault? Is he not being aggressive enough in getting rid of these Obama holdovers who are obstructing him? We don't know, but
wow.
If Jeff Sessions didn't recuse himself, we'd be looking at a whole different picture as far as Russia is concerned and as far as Hillary Clinton is concerned.
I agree. Do you, and folks, our guest is Alicia Powell, WND staff writer based in Washington, D.C., and you can follow her on Facebook, follow her on social networking, go to WND, read her fine, very fine investigative articles. They're very comprehensive, and her analysis is measured and very, very spot on, in my view. Do you see, do you think that a special prosecutor will be appointed? Do you think that Congress will demand it? Do you think that the American people will rise up? They've got enough information and enough spunk to get up and say, we want this special prosecutor for the Clinton crimes collectively? Or do you think that that's kind of a pipe dream?
Well, Jeff Sessions testified before the House Judiciary Committee earlier this week, on Tuesday, I believe it was, and he basically kind of double spoke. Well, not exactly. He said that he is not going to investigate it, but he will have his deputy. He's going to find out if Clinton has reached the threshold of warranting a special counsel. So he's not going to do it, but he's going to find out maybe if it can be done, if it's warranted. Trey Gowdy also said following Sessions' testimony that we don't need a special counsel to do it. We can do it. And, well, the demand is there. I think the demand is there on the liberal and conservative side. Liberals, like I said, they can't stand Hillary. They couldn't stand her during the election. They're just, they're partisan. They're going to basically make their decision regardless to vote for a Democrat. But she should be held accountable, and I think the American people are eager to just, I think they're eager to see her testify again.
To see Comey
held accountable. And
I totally agree with you on that. This is a question. If you or I were talking on the phone right now off air, I'd ask you this question. And I've been asking a lot of journalists this question. In fact, I asked it open air tonight. Do you think that the majority of the American people have all of the facts, all of the information about the Uranium One scandal or the crimes of Uranium One, have all of the information about the email servers? Do you think the American people have all of the facts? I'm not talking about the mainstream, the CNN version. I'm talking about the real facts. Do you think that's out there enough, or do you think that the facts? Just curious.
I mean, even as a journalist, as someone who follows the news diligently for a living, it's hard to get all the facts. Even members of Congress are starving to get all the facts. I think people need to be very diligent in finding out the truth. And it's hard nowadays when there's so many filters of propaganda. You can't find it out. You can watch Fox News at 9 o'clock. And listen to Special Report at Fox. But right. Other than that, where else are we getting news from?
Oh, from you. I mean, I got to tell you, you're hot on the trail of a lot of things, and I read your investigative reports all the time, so there's one.
I mean, really, what's compelled me to leave being an artist behind and to be a journalist is not... I want the truth out there, and I want to help people get the truth, understand the truth, but it's the Democratic corruption and the propaganda that they've been able to inundate us with for decades. Because, just not too long ago, there was just ABC, CBS, and NBC, and now we've got so many news sources to get the truth out there and get the facts out there. So,
that's true. That's true. Yeah, very true. Alicia, I want to make sure that we cover as much as possible. Is there anything right now that you're working on that you think that you want to talk about aside from, for example, the columns you've written? Is there anything that's on your radar that you feel passionate about that you want to talk about?
Yes. There's something else that I've learned about recently, the threat of EMP, an electromagnetic pulse attack. And right now, the United States is completely vulnerable to our electric grid map just our electricity just being attacked, our electric grid being attacked by North Korea or Russia or Iran, it doesn't take a nuclear weapon for us to be in a catastrophic, to face catastrophe. I've spoken with a nuclear scientist named Vincent Pry, Dr. Vincent Pry, who was on the EMP Commission. The EMP Commission was terminated on September 30th. Why? For no good reason. He explains that it's because Obama holdovers are basically intent on disarming the United States because we're bad and we're imperialistic and we shouldn't. No one should have nuclear weapons. Well, if an EMP attack hit us tomorrow, how long would we be able to? How long would we be able to survive in society without electricity? Our the way that we get food, the way that we get water that's clean enough to drink, is all based on us having electricity right now. Mm-hmm. And we are vulnerable to that attack. And the people from the former EMP Commission are urgently trying to warn the White House that this is an imminent threat. The same time that the EMP Commission was terminated, North Korea was threatening us with a EMP attack. So this is, my computer died.
Yeah, Alicia, I don't know if North Korea is capable of actually pulling that off, but we've been studying the EMP threat for years, and one of the more frightening statistics about that is if there is an EMP that were to take the power grid of the country down, you would have within 1 year, 90% of the population would be dead, and that's a very real threat, not just from attacks from other countries, also cyber hacking, as well as natural disasters as a way of possibly bringing that about. And it is a very real threat. Alicia, I want to get your opinion. Oh, we lost Alicia. Her computer. That's what she said. Her computer.
My computer died. She got hit by a mini EMP there. Yeah. Directed. You know, Alicia Powell, and I've got to say this, I've got a lot of respect for her as a journalist and her investigative reports. And she does a lot of her own, well, all of her own footwork. I guess
she was at the New Bible Museum today in Washington.
Yeah, yeah. Which, okay.
I wanted to ask her about that.
Yeah.
Because there's an article up here about that, which is pretty interesting. CBS, NBC, hype, cloud of suspicion over Museum of the Bible. Listen to the arguments that they make.
Oh, man.
Coming up on CBS this morning, they say that this museum is generating some controversy because it's just a few blocks from the U.S. Capitol, and the conservative Christian family run Hobby Lobby is the biggest donor. But what was their biggest beef? This is exactly what they said. The U.S. Capitol is over your shoulder. Some people have said the goal here is to knock down that wall between church and state.
Right. By proximity of this Bible museum to the Capitol.
Yep.
Which is just ridiculous.
The other news outlet said that some critics on the left say this museum will be full of evangelical propaganda.
That's offensive. Just hearing that is offensive to me, and I think it should offend every Christian out there.
Why is it so close to centers of American government and culture?
Right.
My goodness, these people are delusional. They are mentally handicapped.
Well, if we don't get Alicia back, make sure that you check out her work on the Bible Museum. I think that's.
I don't know if she's written it yet, but that's what she was working on.
Well,
today.
Okay, when it comes out. When it comes out. Make sure you check it out because, you know, and she's right on the EMP, very correct on the EMP. And Joe, you made a statement where, oh, great, we have her back. Alicia, thanks for coming back.
I apologize. No problem. I've been at the museum. I seem to have technical difficulties every time we speak. But I've been at the Museum of the Bible all day today, running around with my computer and my cell phone and getting the story on verifying whether Jesus is present in the Museum of the Bible. According to the Washington Post and the Christian Broadcasting Network, there is no Jesus in the Museum of the Bible. So I went today to find out if that's true or not. And I gotta say, it's just an exquisite museum. We're very fortunate to have a Museum of the Bible. And whatever your religious beliefs are, it's an important thing to have in society, and it's unprecedented.
There's a historical
element. There is Jesus
in
the museum, though.
Good.
It's not enough.
Good to know.
It's not like Passion of the Christ. Won't see blood, and you won't see Jesus bearing the cross like you would in, you know, it's not realistic enough. It realistically depicted, but it's beautiful, and it's worth checking out. I'm grateful to have gone today.
When can we expect your article on that? Not that we're...
Sunday.
Sunday, perfect.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely look out for coverage on the museum where they said that it's so close to the Capitol that they are trying to blur the lines between church and state. And then they have a problem with Hobby Lobby being one of the bigger donors or the biggest donor to that museum, and then they called it Christian propaganda or evangelical propaganda.
Of course, you can expect secularized secular media. We can expect that from the left.
Yes,
absolutely.
Alicia, in the last few minutes we have, I want to get your opinion on this Judge Roy Moore story that's been ongoing for the last week.
Now it's a party.
We have these women accusing him of different things, the most explosive accusation being what the Mrs. Nelson brought against them, but there's some questions about her credibility, because apparently she was in his courtroom in 1999 as looking over her divorce proceedings. The signature in the yearbook is up in some controversy. Do you think this was a political hit job, or do you think there's some truth to these allegations?
Both. It's absolutely a political hit job, and there's obviously, based on the judge's testimony, just on that Sean Hannity interview, he did have a thing for young girls. But first off, I mean, I gotta say, to be completely honest, I've been getting hit on by grown men since I was 13, 14 years old. If you just walk down the street in Manhattan, it's not something that, unfortunately, it's a pretty normal thing. So I think it's just, this should be a window. If you're gonna make allegations against someone, why wait 30, 40 years? That's the question we're all asking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 30 or 40 years, that's a political hit job. You haven't recovered. You'd have 4 decades to come out and make these allegations, but you're waiting a month before this election. It's just infuriating. Yeah. I think if you have any integrity, you need to stand up for yourself and not bandwagon. Literally, it's just, me too, Bill Cosby raped me. Me too, Bill O'Reilly. Oh yeah, he said I was wearing a short skirt and that I was beautiful. Okay, well, I mean, let's just face it. Men hit on women. Some women look like they're 20 years old when they're 14, and that's not to justify what Roy Moore did. The most serious allegation is with Lake Horfman, who was apparently 14 years old, and he spoke with her mother when she was in a court, in a divorce hearing, and asked if he can lodge her. Then he went to her house, and then they went on a date, and he drove her back to his house in the forest, and he got stripped down in his underwear. So we've heard the allegation.
Right.
But Lake Horfman, you're waiting to now to speak out about that? Really? I mean, right now we're inundated with all of these allegations of sexual assault and sexual harassment from Hollywood, from Democrats and Al Franken, Republicans. But women need to have more integrity.
And
so do men.
I love your approach on this. My wife and I would agree with you 100%. I think we're at the end of the segment, which is why I had
to... It's too late to come forth with 40-year-old allegations, period.
And you know what, Lisa, you said it right. You know, you're not a professional
victim. We don't know enough about Roy Moore. We're bandwagoning for him because we love Donald Trump and he represents the anti-establishment movement. But do we really know the guy? No.
That's right.
At least not nationally.
That's right. Alicia, thank you so much for your gift of time tonight. I know you're a busy lady. We're going to keep following you. God bless you. Stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you.
All right. That was Alicia Powell from WND, staff writer. And follow her on Facebook and social networking. We're right back. Network break.